Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist.
Welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and welcome on this day of Mercury going retrograde. Actually, just went yesterday afternoon here in my time zone anyway, and boy, are we being affected by it. At least I am. I hope everybody else's experience is mild. Mine hasn't been terrible, but it just seems like things are gummed up a bit. And this particular retrograde is occurring in Aquarius, so there's an edge around it of sort of unexpectedness, things that happen when you least expect it or things that go wrong when you don't expect them to go wrong. It's an interesting sort of energy, and as I'm watching my technology behind the scenes here at Living Astrology go haywire on me, it's just, you know, one more thing that I can talk about in terms of Mercury retrograde stories. And of course, I'm a Gemini, so I get to experience Mercury retrograde every time because Mercury is the ruling planet of my sign. And usually I go through it fairly easily, but I think the net effect is that I notice very quickly when things are out of whack during this time. And one of the things that has changed a bit during or unexpectedly came up for me is around the content of today's show. And, of course, I love to go with the flow, and I don't have a problem with going with the flow at all. So what I had originally published today, which was going to be about the possibility of doing readings, I'm going to put on hold in favor of talking with my guest a little bit more extensively on some of the other topics of interest to our world as we move into 2015. So first of all, let me introduce you to my guest. Her name is Lynn McCallum. She's an avid explorer of life, a gifted empath, a clairvoyant, a channel. She's a skilled communicator, networker, bridge builder, and a passionate certified Psych-K health and wellness facilitator. She has traveled the world extensively and I dare say continues to have travels around the world. She volunteers with has volunteered hundreds of hours with many nonprofit organizations, and she holds a deep love and reverence for all life. The natural world has been her greatest teacher, and for several years she has been deeply involved with the activation of grids and ley lines of the planet, embodying the sacred wisdom of the portal keepers. She is developing a growing relationship to indigenous elders and to quantum physicists, and seeks to provide a venue to share the wisdom of the ages to support collective awakening. She envisions a world of global peace, harmony, balance, and abundance for all, supporting empowerment through the celebration of what it means to be alive. And I could go on, but I really want to bring her on, so welcome to the show, Lynn McCallum. How are you?
Aloha, Janet. Thank you so much for having me on your amazing show. I'm doing amazingly well. Thank you.
I'm so glad to hear from you again. I always forget that you're in Hawaii until I hear you say aloha. And as I'm sitting here freezing at the moment, I'll just pretend that I'm sitting there with you sipping a tropical drink in a lanai in the sun or something like that. How's that? Let's do some, visualization.
Sounds awesome. I invite all the guests to really tap in and feel this amazing energy that comes through from these beautiful, magical islands in the middle of the Pacific. This is really one of the major places of the grid lines in the world. And when you come here, you feel it and you experience it. So much profound healing in the energy from the earth here.
Wow. One day I will make the trip. In the meantime, I will live vicariously through you as I hear a tropical bird or two in the background, and I'll just picture the sunshine. So, you know, originally, Lynn, we were going to talk today about the gene keys, and I still want to sort of open up a conversation a little bit about that. But in talking to you as we prepared for this show, I, like you, am very excited about some of the other topics that you want to share with us today. But let's begin by you being able to tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey. And really, in my mind, I'm kind of interested into how you got the gene keys into your world. How did that happen?
Well, thank you so much for the invitation to share. And yes, Gene Keys is such incredibly powerful work by Richard Rudd. And I've worked with a lot of astrology, with human design. And then when I came across the Gene Keys, that was really such a powerful piece to come in. So on my own journey, I have been traveling the world really most of my life, extensively since my early 20s, have traveled all over the place and am very interested in the energies of places and our human interaction with nature in different places on the earth, with different animals, etc. And from the time I was a child, I used to pick up rocks and say, "Mommy, they're talking to me," because I was always receiving so much information from nature. And about 5 years ago, I had some health issues. I had a series of health issues that started to introduce me to the power of the mind to create the reality and how our mind can influence our health and well-being. And understanding that we have a mental, an emotional, a physical aspect to our being. And one of those can be healthy, but if the other two or one of them is out of balance, everything is out of balance. So really learning to integrate more than just the physical into the conversation of health. So that started me on an incredible journey. Miraculous things happened. I experienced healings that weren't traditionally expected in medical realms. And so it started to become very empowering to me to realize that I was more, much more powerful than I realized through my thoughts. And then the gene keys, I was about 3 years ago, I started to go through a really profound awakening. Maybe 4 years ago, I started to study work that I now facilitate called Psyche, and that created profound shifts in my life and really freed me up of limiting beliefs. And I started to experience my own potential as infinite. And then the Gene Keys was a piece that came to me in 2012. 2013 is when I really started to dive into it. And I realized that what Richard Rudd had brought through was a beautiful archetypal story through the 64 Gene Keys. And the Gene Keys are the combination of the 64 codons in the human DNA and the 64 hexagrams in the I Ching. And so really what they tell is our human story through individual archetypal traits. And each one of us has a unique blueprint. And the Gene Keys is the combination of those unique blueprints. So it really is like a combination lock, and everyone has a unique configuration of those Gene Keys and how they come together. And it's such a beautiful book to read because it comes from a very heart-centered place. Human design and the Gene Keys are two different systems that complement each other in many ways. Human design is much more mind-oriented, and the Gene Keys is much more through the heart. And as I started to read my own personal Gene Keys, it gave me a deep understanding of myself. It gave me a deep confirmation back of who I knew myself to be. And actually, one of the most profound things for me in going into the Gene Keys was exploring my shadow aspect, because every Gene Key has three unique frequencies: the shadow, the gift, and the city. And the shadow, we all know what the shadow is. The shadow is when we're in a sense of separation and we're learning from those, we would maybe call them darker aspects of self, or those parts of self that where we experience suffering or separation. And
yeah, where the light is on completely yet.
Exactly. And that was the most profound part for me of reading the Gene Keys, was going into my own shadow. And I spent 4 days each day reading one of my four primary Gene Keys, The Shadow. And when I read it, I cried deeply. I allowed myself to have this very deep human experience with it, because it was such a reflection of my shadow and what it had cost me in my life, where it had limited me, as well as what it had taught me. And allowing myself to just open my heart fully and experience this in a very emotional kind of way was something I had never done before. I had never opened my emotions to that depth. But it was almost like a ceremonial process of doing this in order to be complete with my own shadow, to embrace it and to see it fully for what it was and for how much it had gifted me on my path. And
yeah,
so that was a really profound releasing and completion kind of experience. And then I moved into reading about the higher Gene Keys, which were so reflective of this miraculous journey that I've been on for the last 3.5 or 4 years. And it just reflected back to me everything that I had known about myself and about experiences that I was having, et cetera. So very, very powerful tool in unlocking the DNA. And really, when people read the book, for myself personally, I've had awakening experiences just reading 2 or 3 words in that book.
Yeah. Yeah, my experience with the Gene Keys is very similar in that, first of all, I came across the human design astrology about October, November of December of 2012, and quickly on the heels of that discovered about the Gene Keys. And it was an offhanded comment from a friend that said, oh yeah, human design, well, have you looked at the Gene Keys? And I purchased that book I think it was March of 2013, and really didn't start diving into it until this last year. And it is such an interesting journey into yourself and into that shadow. And, you know, not as a way to find out what your shortcomings are, but to find out where your strengths could be. You know, how can I turn some of these shadow things into strengths or gifts? Because they truly are each that. When I opened the book, I also realized that there was no way I was going to read this book from cover to cover in the same way that I would read any other book. It was, first of all, it's thick, right? And when you open it up and you start reading, there's a lot of terminology, there's a lot of information, and he even talks about using it as a contemplation, as a movement through like a self-exploration. And I found that really comforting, that this wasn't going to be one of those things I had to read cover to cover, memorize, and move forward with. Do you remember when you first looked at that? Were you kind of intimidated by that thickness of the book?
You know what? I was so vibrationally drawn to the book that it was just like the most incredible chocolate candy. You could feel the whole energy of the book. And certainly, like you say, when you pick it up, you realize that it's not something that you read front to back. There's truth in everything, and there's information in everything. You can open any book, regardless of what it is, to receive a message. But clearly, everyone who opens that book, there's profound messages in every sentence. So.
Yeah, just about every sentence. I have a friend who has the Gene Keys book, and she has highlighted just about everything in that book. It's just, it's a phenomenal how she has worked with that material. you know, for my own part, I was looking at it this morning, which I do just about every morning, look through some part of it or, you know, read some piece of it. And this morning I was looking at it with a different pair of eyes because I was thinking about the show today and how I wanted to describe it. And there were two words that jumped out at me. One was DNA and how he uses DNA throughout the story of gene keys and how it correlates. In fact, like you said, the 64 codons of our DNA, there are 64 hexagrams in the I Ching leading to 64 gene keys. But I loved the other word that he used quite a bit, and that is the word genius. And I just want to read a quick quote from the book that I pulled out this morning. Genius describes you living at your zenith, living your life without holding anything back, owning and therefore transcending your fears. To be a genius is to have the courage to live life with an open heart as a deep romance. And that's Richard Rudd from from the early page of Gene Keys. And, I mean, to me, every time I read that, I just get chills because I think about then life being that kind of a romance, being that kind of a dance and not something that's tragic or trauma-driven or anything like that. And then he goes on to look at what does the word genius is. Well, of course, the root word of genius is gene, and it refers to an overseeing spirit or guardian who looks after a person, i.e. maybe our higher selves or our God selves, our spirit selves, whatever you want to call it. But it's also connected to the word gene, which is why we think of it in terms of being something, you know, a gifted individual gets via, you know, genetics or through inheritance, i.e., you know, an Einstein, we think of him as being a genius. But genius is something each of us has, and I love that about this book. I love this about his whole story that he's sharing here with the gene keys.
So beautiful, and what amazing definitions. A dear friend and mentor in my life, Dr. Joe Dispenza, that's how he always refers to all of the participants in his events, is geniuses, over and over and over. If you do a three-day event with him, you will hear that word over and over and over. The definition that you've shared there is so incredible. It inspires me even more on my own path, which has been such a miraculous path. And just when you read it, I was like, oh, there's even more for me to let go of to embrace my full potential. So thank you. Thank you for reading that definition. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it would be awesome to print this off in a big banner and just have it sitting in your house, right? Genius describes you, underlined, living at your zenith, living your life without holding anything back. How many of us hold back from what our genius is or from living our lives fully and on our own terms, transcending the fears that have been holding us back or that continue to hold us back, fear of not having enough, fear of you know, being criticized or vulnerable to criticism for people that might not understand why you're living your life your way. And I say it's time to drop all that and just be who you want to be. Open heart, right? That's what he says. Have the courage to live with an open heart as a deep romance.
Wow. I feel like you're really reading that for me too on my own path, because I really have let go of so much and have lived such an open-hearted path, and am in the process right now of launching a new website and pulling together a team. And I really appreciate what you've read, because the team is just showing up and it's me trusting at the next level of what's coming together. And, you know, so basically I've been on this amazing journey and just funding it from my heart and my savings and so on. And feeling a little bit right now within myself of going, oh my gosh, I'm being asked to go to the next level and trust even deeper. And so I'm super inspired by what you just read for me to just let go of even more.
How perfect that was what, you know, the book cued me into today. And, you know, before I want to talk about your, because as you were describing bits of it to me, I really want my listeners to be able to go on that journey a bit with you. But before we leave the gene keys, I want to talk a little bit about DNA in his book, because I never thought of DNA in this way. And, you know, he says that your DNA is a wormhole. And that it contains a code that, when activated, opens up to the core of the holographic universe. And as such, DNA is a transducer of light. I'd never thought of DNA in that way. And the more that you open to your path and to your truth and to your authentic self, the more light that pours through it, and then from there, the more light that you pour outward to the world. And, you know, there's more in the book that he talks about the DNA. It becomes a central point to understanding the work. But I just thought that that was a beautiful addendum to this, that, you know, our DNA, we are coded for light. Wonderful, huh?
We are so coded for light, and in fact, we are transforming into hominous luminous beings of light.
Yes.
And that is the opening and awakening of the DNA. I'm so grateful you're reading these pieces. I left that big giant book at home. I do a lot of traveling, and normally that's my labor of love, is to carry that book to share whatever I can with people. And this is one journey right now in Kauai. It was just like, oh, I had two choices of two books, The Keys of Enoch or Gene Keys, and I left the Gene Keys at home. So thank you for reading those pieces again. And really, that is what's happening on my own path, which I'll just touch in on because it's relevant here, is I've been working with the grids and ley lines of the planet extensively for 3.5 years, and the main group that I've been working with is in a place in Colorado, a very fifth-dimensional place called Crestone, Colorado. And what's interesting was when I first started participating with this group run by a man named William Bueller, and Yee Skywalker is his partner. And they, in 2011, was the first time I was drawn to go and participate with them. And I really didn't understand anything about what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. I was just guided to participate. But what was interesting is before the workshop that they were holding in September 2011 was advertised, Bill sent out images that a naturopath had done of his blood. And Bill, he ended up going for this appointment by mistake. Not really by mistake. It was his wife's appointment. She forgot about it, was out of town. So Bill went. The naturopath looked at his blood and said, "There are things in your blood that I've never seen before." And so Bill sent out photographs to all of us and later showed us video. And what was amazing to me was on his blood cells, it was like these little red stars and these little blue stars were on the edges of his blood cells. And as soon as I saw it, I went, oh my gosh, that's the red and blue Kachina in the Hopi prophecy. And the Hopi prophecy talks about all these things that will come to fruition, that we will see come to being, that will let us know we're at the time of great shift. And one of those things is the red and blue Kachina, and Kachina means star. And right here in Bill's blood, he had these little red and blue stars. And so then the naturopath videoed the blood, and those little cells started to burst into orbs of light. It's all on video. It's photographed. And when we watched the video, it was almost too bright to watch, these bright little orbs of light in his blood, and they were all connecting to each other. They were seeking each other out in his blood to form these long chains of light. That is hominous luminous, and that is what Richard Rudd is talking about with the DNA, and this is biological, and it's showing up. And this is actual fact in our reality. People don't understand. We're going through profound shifts and people are feeling it. But they may not understand that we are going through profound and accelerated biological shifts on the planet right now. And to see that in Bill's blood in 2011 was amazing. And it showed up in all of the group that does the synergy work, the grid and ley line work. And then the naturopath reported that about a year and a half later, it started to show up in the general public.
You know, just before the show, I was speaking with one of the listeners, and she was telling me about how she feels like some big changes are coming in her life. And her personal life, but I wonder too how many people out there are feeling, you know, the shifts that are changing the paradigm, that are changing on the grander scale, you know, by the works that people like you are doing out there in the world.
Agreed, Janet, and I think that's a really important piece that you're raising right now, is that is a mass awakening occurring within people, which is why the work that you're doing is so important, bringing forth the voice, bringing forth the information. You know, my friend Joe says that we live in an age of information, and so ignorance is a choice. That information is coming through so many people who have gone through their own processes of awakening and understanding, and really information is there if you seek it. If you are going through big shifts and you don't understand them, then the information can be found, thank goodness for the internet. And so many more people now are starting to, you know, the phrase that's being used is the veil is being lifted. And all
right,
those limitations that have been upon us, as the veil is lifting and the awakening is occurring within the DNA, it's like people are having spontaneous realizations and understandings and seeing this reality, this holographic reality, in a completely new and different way. And I think the most important thing for people to understand is they're not alone, because it can be very disturbing, it can be scary, it can be unsettling. When we go through a lot of these changes, we may go through profound shifts in our life, in our relationship, in our jobs, in our families. And just that it's so important people know they're not alone, that the community is out there to help them understand what's going on. And that's
a
really important piece.
Because other people do know. Other people have answers, you know, or are seeking the same answers to the same questions. And so for those of you who are just joining us maybe today, I'm speaking with Lynn McCallum. And Lynn has taken us on a journey through a bit of the Gene Keys, which was the purpose of our talk, but in true Mercury retrograde fashion today, in a quick discussion we had before the show, there seemed to be so much more calling us to discuss today. So we are right now kind of looking at the awakening of humanity. When you say, Lynn, that's pretty much what we're covering at this moment, how we're awakening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it totally ties in with the Gene Keys.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're of such a high caliber that even when I sit down sometimes to read them, I find I almost have to kind of raise my own vibration to get to them. Does that make sense? It's sort of
absolutely.
I have to be
moment.
In a different place to read them.
There's some moments when you look at the book and you just go, I just can't do it right now.
Yeah, there were days, you know, I had some very dark days just a few, you know, weeks back. Actually, now it's probably been more like a month and a half back. And the Gene Keys were always sitting here. They were always sitting here in my house, right? I have them with me nearly every day, somewhere close by. It didn't occur to me to look in them. My vibration wasn't there yet. And one day toward the end of what, you know, was this energy I was experiencing, I thought, you know, I know the answers are somewhere. And I started with my sun and earth in the Gene Keys and found the golden path, which is a whole nother story part of this. The Gene Keys website will lead you to discover your own golden path. And it was amazing the transformation that came around for me in a matter of literally just a few minutes as I was reading, something just went, you know, the light bulb went on and I could see, you know, some of the things that the shadows of my sun and earth were doing to me that I hadn't seen yet, that I had not recognized yet. And it was like a weight rolled off my shoulders. And it's that kind of thing that if each of us takes this little trip, right, it doesn't have to be the Gene Keys. It can be through any other medium. But if you're willing to face yourself and that shadow, then the awakening becomes, oh, gosh, just almost that romance that he was talking about in the quote that I gave earlier in the show. And that's what I find is so wonderful about the times we live in, that we're discovering so much about ourselves and the world we live in. So now, one of the things we talked about today was your journey towards something called the Living Library. So I want you to, you know, give us a little bit of that background, and what does the Living Library and what does that mean for us and to you?
Okay. Well, thank you for asking. The Living Library is something that was downloaded to me in July 2013, when I was on the island of Kauai. I was on my girlfriend's land, which is the home of an incredible ancient Hawaiian Heiau temple. And I was scheduling a call on astrology. I was going to do a conference call to update people on some big astrology that was unfolding. And basically the download came as I was doing the write-up. And it was the most multidimensional, multifaceted download my consciousness had ever experienced. And I asked the universe what this was. And the universe said, it's the Living Library, and it's your life's work on this planet. And my response to the universe was, well, if that's true, that domain name will be available. And there's no way in the world that no domain name should be available, because Pleiadian channels like Barbara Marciniak and Barbara Han Clow have been referring to the Earth as the Living Library for 30, 35 years. Indigenous peoples refer to the Earth as the Living Library, etc. And so I looked it up, and the domain name was available for $7.99. And at that point, I realized that this was my life's work. So I went for a walk on the beach to ask for more guidance. And the universe said, it's the cosmic Akash. You're the curator. The universe gave me the name Sashat, which I wasn't familiar with. So I looked it up and discovered that Sashat was the wife of Thoth. And Thoth is an inner planes mentor, you could say, that has been assisting humanity through ascension. And one of the many inner plane mentors, you know, ascended beings, etc. Thoth has been embodied many times in different incarnations, Merlin and Hermes and many other incarnations, but is also the writer of the Emerald Tablets, which it said was he burned them into the emerald tablets. But Sashat, I found out, was Thoth's wife, and she was the curator of his library. And so when this all came through, I understood that I had this role that was being shown to me, and I really didn't understand what it was all about. It was just being shown to me, and my job was to begin to explore what this was. Now, everything, you know, we live in a sea of information, and we're living in a sea of archetypal energies, and all those archetypal energies carry personality types, etc. So as I opened to the universe, I asked for guidance. What was I to do? How was I to bring this through? And the guidance said, begin with a podcast. And the guidance said the podcast would grow into the largest global broadcasting network for peace. And so, you know, at that point, I was on a miraculous journey with just nonstop miracles showing up, but I was still in a state of doubt of the information coming through to a certain extent. And so my path, I was kind of dragging my feet with the podcast, but I just got epic guests. Global leaders in thought consciousness, et cetera, were my guests on the show. It all just unfolded so effortlessly. And then in March of this past year, 2014, I had some incredible Indigenous elders as my guests for the show. And each time before we go on the show, they would tell me that I would be the carrier of their sacred bundles. I was doing a journey to the Middle East, and so Drama Silverstar was one of my guests, and she is an elder who is the feminine carrier of the Star Knowledge Bundles, which are 52,000-year-old codes to activate the Earth, and she said that I would carry their bundles back to the Middle East. And then another elder said I would carry the sacred water, which would awaken the ancestral patriarchs and the sacred crystals, et cetera. And so the podcast started to unfold at such an incredible, not only accelerated pace, but my guests were telling me who I was in their vision, in their prophecy. And it was revealing to me, it was having me expand and let go of everything I knew myself to be, just over and over and over. And so I did an amazing journey traveling around the planet, working with the grids. And then in December of this past year, 2014, the guidance came through and said, okay, January 1st, it's time to get your voice and your face out there. The information coming through you is ready to be received. And so we've been in the process of a really epic team of people is just spontaneously showing up in my life saying to me, I know that I'm here to help you bring this message forward. I know that I'm here to help you purchase Living Library, this cosmic Akash, whatever that means. We're just being shown in the moment. It's not coming from a perspective of a driving force of, you know, I have a vision and I'm going to bring it to fruition. It's coming from a place of total surrender. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And so in early January, I've been traveling through Peru for the last few months and carrying Hopi corn from the Eagle Nation to the Condor Nations of South America. And so what's being revealed already is that this launch and this foundation of the Living Library is really providing a foundation, an apparatus, a venue for wisdom keepers to begin to bring the next level of the Akashic through, the next higher leap for consciousness, for humanity through. And basically, as this leap is coming through, we're being asked to let go of 99.99% of everything we know.
And that creates some fear on the planet, I would imagine, right? Because there's a lot of, I know, going back to the gene keys, one of the last things I circled this morning that I wanted to share with people is that according to Richard Rudd, the writer of the book, he says he realized that one of the greatest of all human fears is the fear of freedom. And I had to think about that for a minute because I know in my own life I've wanted freedom. I want freedom. Our whole country here, we resonate to that thought of freedom, but yet we're afraid of it. And I think in order to move forward, we're going to have to let go of some of those big fears that we have that are operating behind the scenes. So do you think, you know, doing something like this, this work that you're doing with the Living Library is going to help us go to that next level by letting go of some of these fears?
Absolutely, absolutely, because ultimately the wisdom is in all of us. And that's one thing that I really realized when I started to go through like an accelerated awakening in 2011. I call it my fifth dimensional year, when miracles just started unfolding everywhere, is that, you know, at the time I was making a film on the shift in consciousness, and all these amazing thought consciousness leaders were showing up to be part of that project. And then I started to realize that the wisdom is really coming through every single one of us, and there is no pedestal, there is no hierarchy, there is no one who has all the pieces. The amazing part of the journey, and, you know, sitting in sacred circle is such an incredible experience, because when you sit in a circle versus an audience sitting watching a panel, what you see in sacred circle is that wisdom is in all of us, and it's the willingness to connect on a level of equality that allows the magnificence and the unique expression of creation in its highest forms of wisdom to flow through the individual. And so I think that this is an amazing way to facilitate this shift, not in a place of fear. I think right now that a lot of the fear is coming from the fact that we still give our power to something outside of ourselves rather than trusting the inner voice. So the process is really one of self-love and learning to follow the inner voice before any voice outside of the self. Learning to trust our inner technology, which is our heart, vulnerability, our willingness to be open and truthful about our own, using our own language, our own verbiage that expresses who we really are. You know, poets are very free to speak metaphorical language. If more of us allowed ourselves to speak from a place of metaphor rather than from left brain logical, we would have a lot more freedom to just be who we really are. The left brain, the logic, the ego has us limit who we can claim ourselves to be. But in poetic form, when we speak in metaphor, understanding that this whole world is symbolic, when we can speak metaphorical language that really wants to flow from us, we begin to naturally activate our own DNA effortlessly. And I think that that's how a lot of the fear can be transcended. But the fear is about allowing our unique voice to come through. And yes, there is a lot of fear at this time. Some of the fear is coming from an internal knowing of going through great shift without an understanding of what that shift is. And so a huge part of this process is trust. And really, once again, for people to understand that they are not alone, that their experience is unique, but it's also a collective experience. And it's just like when the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and what happens is some of the cells inside the cocoon, when the caterpillar first goes in, those cells start breaking down the old. Well, what does the immune system of the caterpillar do? It starts to fight those cells that are breaking it down. And so as a human experience, we can experience that as fear. There's old systems in place, and there's people holding old systems in place, and they're fearful to let go. But the process of evolution is unstoppable, whether the ego realizes it or not. And so the Hopi prophecy says, now is the time to push off from the edge of the river. There are those who will be afraid. They will be afraid to let go, and they will suffer greatly when they hang on. Push yourself into the middle of the river. Keep your head above water. Look around and see who is with you and celebrate, because the river knows its destination. And that's the easiest way, is to start letting go of the shoulds and begin to listen to the inner voice. A lot of us are programmed to think that if we don't do certain things, we will hurt others, or if we do certain things, we'll hurt others, not realizing that on a greater level of the soul, that there's soul contracts playing out, and that each one of us is having the experiences that are allowing us to grow and find our own sovereignty and our own self-love. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be said about fear, and there's a lot to be said about fear being our greatest teacher. And that's why embracing the shadow and the gene keys is so important, because the shadow exists in fear, separation, and duality. And fear can be the greatest teacher, the greatest motivator, if we could begin to embrace it from a different place. And each one of us, it's necessary to embrace our shadow to reclaim our wholeness.
Right, and that's after all what we're all looking for, is, you know, being able to play full out, be our full selves, you know, to be wholly who we are. But in some cases, then there are others in the world who are trying to take that away from us as well. And, you know, one of the things I think you could speak to here is about how, you know, these seemingly polar opposites are coming together. How is that happening
in
our world?
That is a great and wonderful question. And the first thing I always say is there is no they. And basically, when we start to live our life from a place of understanding that there's nothing outside of ourselves, if we can look at our world as our own projection, so like a movie player inside of our third eye is projecting experiences outside of ourselves, the most important thing to understand is, where are those experiences and projections coming from? Well, most of us, according to Bruce Lipton, are 95 to 99% unconscious. So the programs, the projections are coming from an unconscious place. So you can think of our unconscious as our hard drive, and it's programmed before the age of six. So there's all kinds of things in the hard drive that need to be upgraded and that are playing out on levels of unworthiness and unlovability and things that are creating experiences in our life that our conscious mind does not want to have. And so that a lot of the unpleasant things or the darknesses or the duality comes from programs, nothing more than programs. So if we begin to look at our life from the perspective that there is no they, that the programs are coming from inside, so when something happens that we don't like, we can go, oh, I get it. There's a program that just created that. I need to go into the hard drive. I need to clear that program. I need to give it to my higher self. The power of our word, our voice, our intention, just to speak to the universe and say, this creation is coming from an unconscious place and an old program, and I choose powerfully to release that program back to my higher self, to be cleared, enjoy ease and grace. That power, people, if we realized how powerful our voice was to just do that alone, we would begin to consider anything that is a trigger, anything that we would call a negative experience, as a gift. Why? Because it's showing us a program that's operating. Instead, we live in fear going, oh my goodness, this is going to happen again. I don't want this. I reject this. I push it away. But if we go, I welcome this because it just revealed to me something that is running beneath my radar that I didn't even know was running. I don't like it. I don't choose it. It doesn't empower me. I don't want more of this. So wherever the program is, higher self, you have permission to go in and release it. And that is the alchemizing of the opposite. You know, when I'm experiencing something within myself that's vibrationally unpleasant and it appears to be coming from something outside of myself, I thank it. And I go within and I say, I take the opposites, these polar opposites of duality, alchemize them into my wholeness, send them up my central channel back to my Godhead, and release them back into the field so that I can come into my wholeness. So it's kind of like all of this is a birthing process. And if we have the willingness, all we need is the willingness to use our triggers as gifts and teaching tools to accelerate our process quickly, then we have the keys to the kingdom.
And we get to release victimhood and blame and judgment and all types of ways in which we take that projection and, instead of claiming it and being responsible for it, push it outward to others. Make it their
fault. Absolutely. Gene Key 55, I'm so glad you brought up the word victimization. That's the shadow of Gene Key 55. Gene Key 55 is, Gene Key 22 and Gene Key 55 are profound gene keys, because Gene Key 22 is all about embracing our shadow before we can move into the higher realms of our DNA and open up more of our DNA. And Gene Key 55 is transcending victimization. And basically Richard Rudd is saying that all of humanity's work is to transcend our stories of victimization. And once we do that, we move into the higher dimensions of our DNA and beyond. And something I want to say about things like the gene keys and astrology, which I always say to clients, is, you know, these are all tools. These are not meant to label us or limit us with design that gets printed out on a piece of paper. It's to help us understand what is operating on an unconscious level such that we can see it more fully. Like you said, where you started to see your shadows and how they were operating, and you hadn't even been able to see it before. These are tools to see those unconscious things operating, so that we can have full awareness of them so that we can transcend them completely. Ultimately, our human design, our gene keys, our golden path, it's all meant to be transcended. But this is like instruments to help us understand the role in the play that we have so that we can embrace it fully, but not identify with it or hold on to it or attach to it, but actually use it to release ourselves completely back into being multidimensional, multifaceted beings in a multiverse, having an incredible human experience in an individuated state.
That sounds awesome. So let's see, we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to be able to share with us something about your upcoming Egypt trip, because I thought that sounded really interesting as well.
Cool. So after working with the grids really extensively on a journey where I was traveling for about 5 months, when I got back to Canada, instantly my guidance said, you'll be doing a guided trip to Egypt in March and April. And the guidance told me specifically the date would start on the spring equinox. And the guidance also showed that the trip would go into early April. And it was such persistent guidance that I looked those dates up only to discover with amazement that the equinox is the next solar eclipse. We're going through a series of these blood moon lunar eclipses, which are very prophetic eclipses. And this will be the third of four. And so our journey in Egypt begins on the solar eclipse, March the 20th. And
which is also a new moon, because it's a solar eclipse, it's a new moon.
Thank you. It's a new moon, and it's also the spring equinox. And then the trip will be ending. Some of us are going off privately to Israel, and the rest of the troop will be staying in Egypt, and the trip will be ending at the Great Pyramid. And it just so happens that it's April 4th, which is the blood moon lunar eclipse, which also lands on Passover. And so these dates were given to me long before I looked at a calendar to understand the significance. My girlfriend, Shule Marie, is doing the guided portion of the trip, and she carries the Egyptian codes with her. She really is a wisdom keeper of that area. And the way that the guidance came through to describe the trip originally when it came through, I'm just an open channel, and I just let things flow through me. And so I'm listening to what's coming through my mouth and learning at the same time. The guidance said that this journey was the call out to the first wave ascenders, those on the planet who knew they were here to have their galactic, universal, and celestial codes activated. And what the guidance is showing me is that the Earth and some of these sacred sites have certain times when they come into alignment vibrationally. And this is going to be one of those times. And the guidance shows that the field in Egypt will be such that it's creating like an energetic cocoon, which will allow for our bodies, which I refer to as the flesh. Currently, our flesh, our physical bodies, are still operating from a very unconscious level. Most of us are really operating from our lower three chakras, desires, wants, needs, lusts, all those sorts of things. And so this trip, the guidance is showing that the lands of Egypt will be such in coherence with the pyramid that the physical flesh will be surrounded by a cocoon of frequency that will allow it to awaken. And basically so that our human flesh suits will be of a frequency that the higher spiritual bodies, which are energetic, can embody into awakened physical flesh. Now, what the guidance is showing is that the ascended masters are coming back into fully awakened flesh suits. And, you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, these things I do, you shall do in much greater. And so we are moving into a time of reclaiming our capacities as creator beings to think golden apple, produce golden apple in the palm of the hand, far transcendent of the need for money and currency and all these kinds of things that we're currently still operating in, is coming back into full manifestation capacities. But at present, because our physical flesh has been so asleep, it's been a rarity for the higher spiritual bodies to come into the physical flesh. And that's how the trip is being shown. It's being shown that the team is bringing a certain level of light to those historic lands and portals. And it's just going to be an epic journey. The people showing up for the journey are incredible. And it's really like a spirit family reunion. So it's exciting.
Wow.
And if people are interested, they can connect with me personally, and I can put them on to Shule.
Well, why don't you do that right now? Take this opportunity. We've got about 4 minutes left. Tell people how they can get a hold of you, what your website is, that kind of thing, if they have more information or they want more information about you.
Fantastic. Okay. So basically, great ways to connect with me. I have a website, which is my podcast site. It's called thelivinguniverse.net. I also have a website, which is lynnmccallum.com, spelled LynnmccAllum.com. That's where I do my private sessions with clients. I work with clients to help them transcend limitations from the subconscious. I work as a direct source channel to bring in information for recoding, basically activating of their DNA, to help them understand the stories that are in their fields. I read the digital libraries of their fields. And a lot of the time, just by having one story read back to them, they then suddenly get the conscious awareness, which opens the portal for huge awakening. Also, Facebook is a great way. It's Lynn McCallum on Facebook. I have the Living Universe Facebook page, the Living Library Facebook page, and we are going to launch the Living Library on the full moon with a webinar with our team. So if people want to stay tuned for that, there will be information on my Facebook page and also via email at discover@lynnmccallum.com is another great way to connect with me.
Discover, did you say?
Yes, the word, discover@lynnmccallum.com. Super happy to hear from people and to help people find the resources that they need, which is really what the Living Library is going to be all about. And it's an exciting, exciting time to be alive. We've chosen ourselves to be here. And for anyone who's in a place of fear or unknowing, trust it, embrace it. When we're in those places, we're standing on the precipice, ready to make great leaps into the reclamation of our freedom. And just one thing about what you said about Richard Rudd talking about freedom. When the slaves were emancipated in the United States, many of them stayed with their slave owners because they couldn't imagine the possibilities available to them. And really, part of my job is to motivate people to embrace their infinite possibility, their infinite potential, and to claim this birthright that we have to be fully embodied spirits having an incredible human experience.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for being my guest today. I have, this is great. Just I don't even have the words. For those of you who are listening and wanted to know more about the Gene Keys, there is a website called genekeys.com. And on the website is a tab called the Golden Path. And I encourage you all to click on that and get your holographic profile and start your own journey into the Gene Keys. And, of course, enjoy every moment of it and be prepared for surprises and awakenings along the way, because it cannot help but bring magic into your life. And I can tell you, after watching Sunday Seahawks game, there is magic in this world. It was displayed in full splendor on TV. and living magically is so much more fun than being depressed or sad or stuck. So do yourself a favor and go check that out. Next week, my guest is Michael Lennox, and he is the person we had in December talking to us about dream interpretation. Only this time he's coming back to talk to us in depth about the Uranus square Pluto aspect that is winding down as we move into March of this year. So join us next week, 4 p.m. Pacific. Until then, have a stellar week.
Blessings and aloha.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now and have a stellar week.